Welcome. Welcome to In Plain Sight, your regular Thursday broadcast. I'm your regular Thursday co-host, William Rapillum. Jeremy is out tonight, and I have with me a couple special guests. I have Erica. Erica, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Yeah. So not everybody knows who Erica is, but we're going to give you a nice intro in just a minute. And then we also got with me my fellow co-host, Stephen Douglas Whitener, and fellow RBN host, Stephen Douglas Whitener. Welcome, Stephen.
Howdy. Hello, RBN. Howdy, William. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you guys came on to try to help make up for missing Jeremy tonight, and I'm really excited to talk to you guys. Erica, you brought some extremely valuable content to the table, and we're going to give some of that a look over. I don't have it in front of me. It's in a different chat, so I don't know, Erica, if you could post it in the chat. You got here the House rules, Republican Israel XM. There's the Israel 2024 thingamabobber, all right? And maybe you can tell us a little bit about that. We've also going to get into something Robert Ravolt sent me. Jamie Raskin gets into it with another representative, and we got a YouTube video, so that should be entertaining. And I popped over a normie news from Reuters that I got in the Skype feed. Lawyers select 12 jurors to serve in Trump hush money case, right? So the first thing that popped into my head was, well, how many, you know, every single politician out there would have something to have hush money case about, but obviously they don't like Trump, so they're going to pull his card, and they're going to do the blackmail thing that the Jews always do, because everybody's blackmailed by the Jews, right? So some of you guys out there, you don't like me to say the word Jew, and you don't like me to say that it's the Jews, and you say it isn't the Jews, but that's not true. It is the Jews. That's where the rabbit hole ends, okay? And it's been like that for thousands of years. So I've been reading this book, Who is Esau Edom? By Charles A. Weissman. And it's absolutely fantastic. I mean, it really puts into perspective the biblical reasons why the so-called Jews, the people who claim to be Jews, that the Christians think are the God's chosen people, are claiming that birthright. It's the Esau-Jacob story. Stephen and Erica, are you familiar with the Jacob-Esau story from the Genesis, from the Bible?
It's been a while, but yes, I'm familiar with it.
I thought I was pretty familiar with it, too, and then I read this book, and then it really kind of solidified and cemented my understanding of why the world is the way it is right now. How about you, Stephen? I don't mean to put you guys on the spot.
I remember you talking about this book, the other night, and I had heard the story about the birthright being stolen. It's like two brothers fighting. That's the way I heard it explained to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it just seems to make a lot of sense. Oh, go ahead.
Had one bought the other's birthright out. Tricked into getting switching the order of succession, right?
Yeah. So Esau was the older brother, Jacob's younger brother. Esau had the birthright, right, by birth. However, God had told Rebekah, their mother, that the older would serve the younger, when, you know, from way before this ever even happened. And she knew. She never told anybody about this because she probably would have been stoned to death back in those days, because this was unheard of, right? But God had told her this. Right, so that's the story. And so Jacob, the true Israel, right, you know, his brother offered him the birthright for, like, because he was hungry and he wanted a bowl of porridge. So he gave him his birthright for the porridge. And so the whole world is upside down because Esau wanted a bowl of porridge. Doesn't that seem ridiculous? I mean, I'm just thinking about it, and if I were somebody listening to this story, I'd be quite incredulous. What do you think about that bowl of porridge story? I'm playing devil's advocate.
Oh, that's even worse than my kingdom for a horse or whatever. That's like a bowl of porridge. Okay, you're just going to give the whole thing up and then start this endless conflict over that. That just seems kind of ridiculous too. But I'm not sure I understand how that explains what's going on today, though.
No, you said that
it all explained it somehow. So I was trying to work those details out somewhere, and I couldn't get there from one place to the other, though.
So absolutely.
Yeah.
Isn't it Khazarian Jews, really, though, nowadays?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yes, and we'll get to that. But we're absolutely right, Stephen, that the conversation's over. It was a bowl of porridge, and that's it. You can't question it, and there's no more conversation about it. So we'll just move on to something else.
Well, I have a question. I thought it was it Rebecca, the wife who switched out her sons? Wasn't it Abraham or something like that, right?
Abraham was Isaac's father.
The favorite son was sent out to the fields to work, and Rebecca, or the wife, I think her name was, correct me if I'm wrong, she brought in her favorite son, not the king's favorite son, dressed like the older brother. I think he was older. And before his death, he bestowed the kingdom upon the wrong son, basically. Mm-hmm. Are we about the same story here?
Yeah, he was tricked. But at the end of the day, and you can say this was just Rebecca's bias if you want to, that God told her early on that the older would serve the younger. What that means is that, Jacob would have been the one with the birthright. Is even with all those machinations and dishonest sort of Machiavellian behaviors that were seeming to take place between, obviously Machiavelli didn't insist then, but we can use that as a metaphor. All these duplicitous behaviors that were taking place, God already knew what the outcome would be, right? So that's kind of also how we can look at like what's happening now with obviously the world being upside down the way it is, and you have these people that call themselves Jews but are actually Edomites, and that to me is like the crux of the issue, that the bottom of the rabbit hole. All right, even if you don't like to get biblical about it, the Bible does seem to have this script written that matches this exactly. Unfortunately, the Christians out there, they don't actually read the Bible, so they don't really know. They just listen to the preachers that tell them the Jews are God's chosen people, and so they don't really know.
And you have to be careful which Bible you read, because most of them are not accurate at all. And the the Greek to Hebrew linear Bible is the most accurate, in my opinion. And then the King James Version, and then the rest of them are complete garbage.
Yeah, I would even say that the King James is kind of garbage too, because I mean it is the most revered one amongst all the different supposedly fundamental Christian. Right. But I find the King James to be unbelievably difficult to read, and I find myself just not really able to understand it a lot of the time, and I'm just like powering through it and going, will God reveal to me what is being said here? Because it's like I'm really struggling, and so I lose kind of motivation to keep reading it. I checked with Chris Switzer, who has his show, 2-4.
I know.
Who also
he's good.
He's got a lot of experience with the GDL, and he broke away from those guys. I've never had really any involvement there. I don't have either way, but I've witnessed other folks and that have had you know, doubts or whatever. I've never had any interaction with those guys. So I don't have an opinion either way there. But Chris Switzer, he's very adept on the Edomite, the Jews as the Edomites, those people that, and the ironic thing is that the Jews are calling us the Edomites. Now, let me say this. Let me say this. In a sense, you know, if you're looking at the covenant, because the true covenant is a spiritual covenant, right? It's a covenant from Jesus Christ of anybody who partakes it, you know, in the Christian. This is where I break away from the Christian identitarians, and because they think that it is a racial covenant. Now, I do say, I do acknowledge that European people, I do think that the European people are actually God's chosen people, but it isn't a blood covenant. It's a spiritual covenant. And it's because the European people have taken to Christianity like no other peoples have, although we have been totally deceived, you know, largely collectively by the Jews, by Esau, right? And so you have all of these Christians like that are these white Christian European people who have so many things correct, but they really have got it wrong.
Schofield Christians. Schofield
Bible. I've never actually even seen that Bible. I know that Bible is you know, everybody references that Schofield Bible, right? The dispensational.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah. So I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I absolutely am not saying that. But most of the, I've never talked to anybody or met anybody who references that Bible or uses it. I did recently meet somebody who has it has the background and kind of broke away from the dispensational Christian Zionist thing. And I have yet to really sit down and have a talk with this person, but I'm really looking forward to. I shared the book with this person, who is Esau Edom, and I am really looking forward to discussing that with them. Stephen, let me. I've been talking and talking and talking. Let me get your thoughts, and then I'm going to kick it over to you, Erica. Do you have anything to say? I don't want to talk too much, so. Anything you want to chime in?
Well, I was just wondering what's happening over in the Holy Land over there now. Are they going to ramp up the war? Are they finally going to settle down a little bit? It just seems like we're going to keep hearing more and more about that for the next week or two, and they play that up. And I just, you know, the whole thing seems like this it goes back that far, and this conflict is that deep, and do they hate each other that much? It's like, I guess, kind of get sick of it, all of us getting drawn into it. And I notice there's always plenty of money for more bombs and bullets and stuff to send them. That's just kind of where my head was, you know. I don't know as much about this Bible story, you know. It's been a long time since I remember parts of it, but it was like they tricked the old man there and used the fur to fool him into thinking it was the other brother because his eyesight was bad. It's the way I remember part of this story, but it's been a long time since I knew all the details. You know, I've forgotten a lot of that. Yeah.
And Isaac.
Yeah.
Eyesight was bad, so they were able to trick him into blessing Jacob. And right. Yeah, so I didn't want to spend the whole show on this, but I wanted to touch on it briefly. But I also would like to segue over to what you're getting at, Stephen, because it is really like the most important issue that we're talking about right now, right? Because I would say maybe the border crisis is a symptom of this issue, right? This issue of Israel and Zionism. Obviously, we know that it's the Jews that are behind destroying all borders everywhere and flooding the countries and attempting to exterminate the white race, the white races. So, Erica, you sent over this bill, 118th Congress second session, or 2D session, HR. Okay, I don't see a number.
Yeah,
but tell us a little bit about this bill that you sent over here.
It's HR 8034, and on top of the $19 million that we give them daily, okay, this is a few billion, I think over $5 billion with a B, for appropriated funding for their war, basically. And they can, you know, not that the money is never enough, okay? They've got to have more. They've got to have more. It's like a bottomless pit, okay? The greed just runs so deep. And, of course, we're having to fight their war for them yet again. And in the bill earlier, they must have taken it out. And this has happened to me numerous times where I'll review a bill, I'll go back, and part of it's changed or taken out. Now, part of this bill earlier today had a section where they'll be able to reappropriate funds for, like, the border, you know, for our security. They can take a certain percentage of those funds and give it to Israel under, you know, numerous, you know, you have to go through the bill. I'm not going to bore everybody and read it all, but, you know, they've got all these little stipulations in there that give them basically carte blanche to take more money and, you know, fund their version of Star Wars and all this crazy stuff. And it's just, it blows my mind, you know, that here we are yet again, you know, like the USS Liberty, right? They're sucking us into another war. And hey, it's been what, 20 some years or so from the last major war, and every 20 to 30 years they got to start a war so that the bankers can, you know, bail the economies out or make more money, because they've discovered governments.
Oh, we're on the break. We'll be right back. Hold that thought, Erica. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Back in plain sight. Jeremy from Kentucky is not with us tonight. He's taking the night off. I'm William Rapillum, your regular co-host for Thursday night, and I have with me Erica and Stephen Douglas Whitener. Hey, Erica, you just go by Erica, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know Erica, what was that, Erica?
I was just going to say I have a new website, but go ahead.
Well, Erica, you came of age of just a few months behind me, and I remember you asking me about, you had a, back in the day, like 2018, you had a website, you had a Facebook group called, like, Truth Seekers. And I remember jumping in there, and I had just gotten red-pilled on the Jews, and you weren't quite there yet, and I read David Duke's book, and so I went on your Truth Seekers site, And then I posted a David Duke link, and then you banned me because you hadn't got red pilled. You hadn't gotten red pilled yet.
Well, I was trying to ease people into it, and you can't just slam the normies with a David Duke, you know.
Oh, you were already. But I remember it was after this, like a month later. After this, you were asking about like what happened in the, because we were Mike King's book, and we were asking about what actually happened with Hitler and the Holocaust or something, and I was like helping out with that conversation. And I remember I remember when you were like getting this, and after you banned me, I got this like it was like when an angel gets their wings, you know.
You're not still butthurt over that, are you?
I don't know. I haven't checked.
You said you're broke.
I'll have to check and get back to you on that one. Anyway, we're kind of in the same boat, and we came of age about the same time. We woke up around the same time.
Yeah, I'm a full-blown revisionist, so, and the revisionist version is the only thing that fits with the pattern of behaviors and, you know, the true stories, you know, not just about World War II, but everything, every major event follows this, you know, and the revisionist version follows that same pattern of deceptions and war atrocity propaganda and, you know, yeah. So I've had my, I've done some time in the trenches, you know, with, you know, talking to different people and interviewing them. And so, yeah, but I've rebranded to a website that I'm going to be publishing this week called Frau Spricht, FrauSpricht, meaning woman speaks. So that's in German. So, and .com.
Oh, cool. Okay. Frau Spricht.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Frau is woman in German, and Spricht speaks. So it's FrauSpricht or CHT?
CHT.
Okay, so not Sprite, but Spricht. Spricht. FrauSpricht.com?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Yeah, now, and you interviewed Dennis Wise, and you interviewed Cynthia McKinney. I remember, like, when you, like, within the first year of you waking up, you were interviewing Cynthia McKinney, the ex-senator, and you're telling her about Mike King's book, The Bad War, and she's like, yeah, I'd be interested in checking it out. It was like, you did some amazing interviews. Really
did. Thank you. I put a lot of work and effort into it, especially, and everybody I've met along the way has been very inspirational, and I wouldn't trade my awakening for anything. I choose to be awake, and I'm glad I did it. So,
yeah, there's a lot of people out there that it's like, you get somewhere with them on a conversation, and they're like, oh, well, there's nothing you can do about it. Like, you don't. Yes, there is something you can do about it. You have to do something about it.
Right, and we can, for me, being a revisionist, I feel I can be somewhat of a voice, for the voiceless and victims of World War II, which were the German people.
You should also consider becoming a golf announcer, too, Erica.
Why
is
that?
You have a nice golf voice.
I have a nice ASMR, I've been told.
Yeah. ASMR, what's that?
Guided meditation and whatnot. But, I've been...
Well, Stephen's awfully quiet. Stephen, have you been put into a trance by Erica's voice?
Yeah, I was just imagining the Masters. Isn't that going on right now? He's approaching the putt. And yeah, that sounds good. Yeah. The last time I saw Cynthia McKinney, she was interviewing that Dr. LeBow, however you say her name, recently. That was a couple of weeks ago, but that's somebody that I've fought, local around here. That's somebody that I've learned some stuff from. She was going to do something with this guy that died. What was this? That was going to do this open source thing everywhere, and I forgot his name, but Unrig. His name escapes me. You probably know who I'm speaking of.
Well, Stephen, I want to get your take on the bill and how it relates to the con. Okay. When we come back, we're going to get on with this question there. So we'll be right back, folks. Stick around.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off Drop-and-Lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off Drop-and-Lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar, has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis, historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers, and Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
In plain sight, Jeremy from Kentucky, who's absent tonight, he's not with us, but he did give us proper notice, so we were able to make time to set up. I'm your regular co-host, William Rapillum, and I have Erica and Stephen Douglas Whitener with me. Erica sent over, I asked Erica to come up with some material for tonight's show, and she came up with some doozies over here. She got a bill here about appropriations, more money for Israel, which she explained a little while ago. Another $5 billion, like $4.4 billion is what I'm seeing right here. And, and you were mentioning, Erica, that there were provisions within the bill, buried in the bill. It's surprisingly short. It's only 25 pages long. But that's even too long for them to read through. They don't read any of these bills, right? They don't care. It's just whatever Israel wants, Israel gets. It doesn't matter what's in the bill. It's just a big mishmash, a big train wreck, big giant mess. It's kind of like hard to understand. It's kind of like the Education Day bill, which has the Noahide laws in it, which makes it legal to behead Christians because Jews say that Christians are idol worshippers. Although, if you look in this book, it's okay to worship idols according to Judaism because everything's backwards and upside down, and whatever Jews say in the moment is the truth. You know, so these people are of the devil.
They're going to route our Constitution is through putting Noahide through the education. The only thing I want to reiterate real quick. with the bill, and then this has happened to me before, where they'll have something in there, I'll go back to it, and then all of a sudden it's gone. But what we need to keep our eye on is what I had seen earlier today, is that they'll be able to reappropriate or take monies from things that, you know, are in place for us, you know, like border security or these things like that.
Okay.
And
right.
take this money. So what I'm predicting, we'll see if I'm correct, is that either Trump or whoever he gets in next, all of a sudden you're going to see a huge funding towards the border, right? And everybody will think, oh, our border's secure, but they don't know that this bill that they're trying to pass or have passed, they're going to be siphoning money off of that to send to Israel to continue, you know, what they're doing. So it'll be interesting to sit back and watch.
Well, that's really interesting. And before I kick it over to Stephen, I just want to just interject one point. And that is that if that's the case, then, you know, and they want to cool people's jets off, right? And like, you know, like Ben Shapiro does, he brings a bunch of conservatives into his camp and siphons them all off, keeps them corralled and away from the real issues, right? Trump will rally the troops. He'll rally the conservative right, the Christian Zionist right, and Trump getting elected will make a lot of people go, oh, see, yeah, see, we do have justice. Oh, he did what he always... But what'll actually happen is exactly what they're saying. They'll just do exactly what they did with HSBC Bank, right? When the Department of Justice came out and said, we're going to prosecute in 2008. Remember how the banks that too big to fail, they were going to prosecute the criminal banks, and then a month later they had a big press conference, you know, and these were the people on the left, right? Like Eric Holder and whatever, that other black woman, I forgot her name. And they were saying, we're going to prosecute these banks, and then a month later they said, oh, no, we can't do it. No, sorry. But by then, everybody's forgotten about it, and everybody's just appeased. So they've gotten used to this manipulation tactic and telling people what they want to hear. So with that, I would like to, Stephen, I mean, when you hear us kind of talking about this bill, and with all the studying you've done with Mike Gatti, about the Constitution, because I know you've really, really, you've done so many interviews with him, and he's done so much research on how the Constitution is written kind of in the same way. So let's kick it over to you for a bit. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
It's written so they can do anything they want to. They've got so many that the way that it was written, it's a counter-revolution to the Declaration of Independence. What gets me the most about it is that the people who went there, none of them had the authorization to do anything they did. They were committing a criminal act for one, and treason against the nation that sent them there as another, and who paid their expenses too is another point. Okay, you know, it wasn't the state that sent them. They only had authorization to amend the Articles of Confederation and nothing more. Anything else they did, you know, it was just the formation of the same empire that it stomped down with its right boot then when that constitution was passed in 1789. And then you mentioned the way this bill is written, that the left boot stomped down on the South in the Second War for Independence, and then it's just been trodden all over the world till to this day, and that's this constitution that gave it that power to start with. You know, when we were a confederation of independent nations, that was different. That was a completely different just entity than what this thing is now. That's this monster that's, you know, it's turned into the beast that we were fighting, the redcoats, or who our military is all around the world. People hate us with good reason because of what our military has done in their country and acts with impunity. It's the same arrogance and violence that was, you know, that we fought against when the British were the empire. Now that's what we've become. That's the way I see with the Constitution and with this thing here. Well, now they're doing this to Gaza too. Okay, that's just the latest victim that they're stomping on. You know, it's just the same basic entity. You call it you know, the fact that so many of them are Jewish is undeniable. Look at the cabinet, 10, is it? Someone told me 10 of 12 in Biden's cabinet, and then somebody else told me they're all. So I don't know, but I can see the case for that too. But it's the Anglo-American Empire more than the U.S. What there was of an independent, of liberty, of people who wanted just to protect their liberty here, that was first stomped in the ground with that Constitution. I'll sum it up like that and toss it back to y'all. That's how I see the Constitution. And then there's always plenty of money for Israel. And like you said, it does go deep as to who was doing what and who was paying for this to start with. It's been that way from the very first bank, you know, the very first national bank and Robert Morris and all of that money that was stolen. You know, that they've just done the same scam over and over again since that time. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean that's so key. I think it's so important, and you know, even people on the right and what you know, people the conservatives, they don't get that. You know, they see America as like, oh, America, and that's how I used to see things too. I used to think nation of freedom, we were the greatest nation ever. We actually are a giant corporation that was set up by these criminals. And the reason why they've been able to set up shop so well around the world, whereas before they weren't, when they were dealing with indigenous nations of different separate races of people that had some sort of racial identity and understanding, we came over here, they came over here, escaping from what they called religious persecution, which was actually them just being kicked out of everywhere they go. Christopher Columbus is a great example. 1492, kicked out of Spain by Queen Isabella. Another expulsion, the Jews always getting expelled. You know, we have the transatlantic slave trade taking place with the Dutch East India Company that went between the West Africa and then the corporation existing in Holland, which was where the Jews were sort of hanging out before they took over England in the 1600s, right? When they pried their way back into England and through the court, and then they created the Rothschild banks all over Europe. And then really set up the giant corporation, including the United States. And that's the hard thing. So they had to set up this sham of freedom and the Bill of Rights. But that Bill of Rights was actually really set up to help these Jews for them, not for us. It was set up for them to establish right to guns, right to free speech, right to all these things. And now, you know, I wouldn't say that people are... I think it's great that people are like, no, these are my rights, and that's absolutely true. They're supposed to be your rights. They're supposed to be our rights. They should be our rights, but according to the people that set this whole thing up, they're not the rights, and there were all these loopholes in the Constitution. So now we're in the state that we're in, and we have this launching pad, which is America, which has launched this criminal enterprise, this beach system, into place, and it just continues to perpetually do that over and over again with impunity and just the most ruthless kind of just obtuse arrogance that you could possibly imagine, when you know the whole Congress would just constantly goes along with things that even this thing's only 25 pages long, right, Erica? And it's just more money for the criminal enterprise, nothing for us, but there was something in there for us, but it got taken out and nobody says anything about it. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And when you were talking, I was reflecting upon my interview with Dennis Wise during his first documentary, Communism Through the Back Door, and I kept seeing the word republic, and I'm like, I thought republic meant, you know, a free country, but in his documentary, he kept referring to the communists, because communism was a global issue, and in fact, that's what this civil war in Spain was all about, was because of the communism and the communist rebels that were backed, trained by the United States, the UK, and Stalin, in fact. And Hitler had helped General Franco squash the communist rebels, okay, and that's why Franco, I believe his last name was Franco, supplied Germany with iron ore throughout World War II, because we had declared war on them, not vice versa, and the same with Japan. But yeah, I mean, even the very word republic, and if you think about it, you know, the China, right? The People's Republic of China, Republic, right? So that's like their little mind control games and, you know, wordplay that they do, or pill pull, if you want to call that. But pill pull's really more a debate tactic, I would say. But anyway, I think you guys get the idea, how they take words to and make it seem like it's one meaning, but it really means another, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, and don't not forget the most obvious one, the USSR, Union of Soviet Socialist Republics.
There you go, see, republic. And they use that word today, you know, for new countries that are, you know, springing up or whatever.
So let me just divest. So Mike, Republic Broadcasting, what's going on, bro? Why are we called Republic Broadcasting?
Okay.
There's still Mike? Hello? Mike's not answering. Okay. Well, anyway, we can revisit that later. So, but, you know, the Republic is supposed to represent a nation of laws that are, you know, that can't be bastardized by giving taking away the electoral college of the states, right, and then completely marginalizing the power of the states, which would end up that which it translates into marginalizing the power of the rural people. And so the setting up of the republic is supposed to represent, in the case of the United States, is supposed to, you know, protect the rights of those people that adhere to that culture and want to be free and want to be away from, you know, the smart cities. They want to be away from tyranny and the control that kind of exists more so in the concentrated areas, concentrated populations. But, you know, obviously people on the left, and this is get back into the left-right paradigm, they want to take away that right from people in the rural because they just don't think they matter at all and they want them dead. I get rid of them. They're white, or whatever their reason is. And,
well, that they commandeer our language, like the word woke. You know, we used to call ourselves woke.
Now I remember that.
The Culture of Critique was one of the best books I've ever read. Okay, and when I interviewed Dr. Kevin MacDonald, he proves beyond a shadow of a doubt how this has been going on since like early 1900s or even before that, how they systematically commandeered and social engineered their communist agenda. I mean, it was really, really interesting. It was a real eye-opener.
Mike, I want you to forget about the thing about Republic and just grab me my 7-iron, if you don't mind, please. I'm going to take my shot here. It's 135 yards to the hole. And Erica has absolutely inspired me over here, okay? All right, I'm going to quit doing broadcast. Why am I here? Why am I not playing some golf right now? What's going on? Let me kick it to you, Steven.
1, 2, 3, in. 1, 2, 3.
I heard golf can be a dangerous game. You know, depending. I mean, if you don't know your rear end from a hole in the ground, you could hurt yourself playing that. So I stay off the golf course. there's my golf joke. Okay.
Sir, my message is simple.
There you go. Dave Chappelle, okay.
Sir, my message is simple. Understand what the word republic means.
Oh, come on, give him a break.
Well,
one break coming up.
How about we have more and more awkward moments? hold on. I'm trying to make the moment as awkward as possible. Hold on here.
Four.
It's a big club. And you ain't in it.
You ain't in it.
We ain't in it. All right. The only people listening, we don't have any callers, so I guess the only people listening is the Hasbro trolls right now, and they're just rubbing their hands together.
Yeah, Israeli inside, the Intel inside people.
Hey, you guys aren't calling in. Like, really? Seriously? They've got no callers. There's 9 minutes, and we're talking about something extremely interesting, are we not?
Yeah, they're too busy vetching over the subject matter. That's what.
The AI is getting confused still. They're trying to like aggregate all the data of every show we've ever done so they can take us into their Talmud court and say, "You criticize the Jews."
Maybe it's my ASMR voice that's screwing up the AI.
Yeah, I'll never do my fake AI voice on RBN. Never do that.
I don't think I've ever heard it.
Oh, you just got to go back and... Yeah, I'll never do it. No.
Why not?
Because that's how I trick the AI. Like, if you call into the corporations and they don't give you the option of pressing 1, 2, or 3, they're phasing that out. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that they're phasing in voice only when you call into these corporations and you need help because, oh, I want my television to work. Oh, I want my internet to work. Now, I don't know an alternative to the internet. I know I don't. I could care less about television, so I don't have that. But we all need the internet to work, and so we're beholden to these Jewish corporations for that, are we not? So if we have a problem, we have an issue, and we call in, have you noticed that there's no more press 1, press 2, press 3 anymore? Or it's being phased out, or it's half there or half not there?
Yeah,
I don't know that I've noticed that, but the ones I've called recently, I've still been pressing, but that depends, you know. It's hard to get human. It's harder to get a human being, I guess, pretty much what it boils down to, what you're saying there. You can only talk to the AI voice. That gets annoying.
Yeah. Tell me what you want. In a few words, tell me what you're asking for.
I have heard some of those. But it usually would end up with me being able to find a person. I haven't yet got caught in the loop that I couldn't find one, but I'm sure that day's coming.
So, all right. Well, we didn't get to everything that we had here. We never do. But let me just review this one video. So let's end it with this. We just got a few minutes left. So let's play this Jamie Raskin. Mike, can you play this Jamie Raskin? Oh, wait, it's how long is it? Okay, it's like, I think we can get through it. It's like 4 minutes. Let's see what happens with this. It should be entertaining. Jamie Raskin gets into it with Representative James Comer during committee hearing. You need therapy. Okay, somebody said you need therapy. Oh, this is, I don't know. Well, Robert Raybould sent me this, so I'm going to trust that it's worth putting up here.
And yet, this was the genesis of our investigation. How do we understand?
That's just simply not true, but go ahead.
I'll yield to the chairman if you want to take some more time.
No.
Well, you can use
are
your
you
time.
Saying the bank statements are Russian information?
No, forget it. Look, I don't want this. Did you guys think there's any value in listening to this? I was already like, no.
I don't know. What are they going
to
talk
about? I'll have to watch it. I don't think I can listen without watching the video. I'm sure it's good, but I just got to watch the video. So I don't want to belabor the audience with this. But yes, okay, there's this video. Okay, let me move on to the next thing, okay? So the lawyers...
crime. Well, what is the crime that you want to impeach Joe Biden for and keep this nonsense going?
Oh, go ahead, yeah. Keep going, Mike. That sounds interesting.
For and keep this nonsense going. Well, why? What is the crime? Tell America right now.
You're about to find out.
What is the crime?
You're about to find out.
Name it.
Charity
we inhabit a
Mr.
propaganda
Biggs
experiment.
Arizona.
Thank you.
Wait a minute. Why couldn't he tell what the crime was? He said you're about to find out very soon. Why didn't he just say what
the
crime was?
If you've not named a
single
crime.
Answer this question. What did the Bidens do? What business were they in?
Why did they get
millions of dollars?
Where, no, I would like
can
to ask
I answer
you a question.
What,
no,
you start, what okay, did the Bidens do?
I don't know
what
who you're
business
talking
were they
about.
In?
Well, what Biden? What business is the Comers what? In? You're talking about lots of people. There's lots of people in the family.
I'm a farmer. Your impeachment, I have land. I
your impeachment
land.
Investigation must identify a high
Bidens
crime
do?
And misdemeanor.
What did they?
So two gay guys are sitting there, like arguing with each other. And they're very gay, both of them. Aren't they? Sound
Dog and Pony Show. Dog and Pony Show, just like this trial and all this crap. I mean, it's all just a Dog and Pony Show to get everybody up in their emotions so they can't critically think, okay? And the news gets to tell them what to think and say and do.
Yeah, I found that to be just, disgusting, waste of time. But it's a good kind of expose of that.
You know, the guy who he was telling him to name the crime, he should have just played that audio of Biden sitting there saying, well, I told him that if they don't fire the prosecutor, then, you know, they're not getting their $1 billion. And son of a bitch, what do you know? The prosecutor is fired. Just play that video for him and say, that crime. You know, is that not good enough evidence right there and right in our face? Yeah, just like you said, it's just to get people riled up. I guess it worked. Because
yeah.
That's ridiculous, yeah.
About the taxation from all these China deals and all this stuff. I mean, come on now.
How about the Nord Stream pipeline when Biden said they're going to blow up the Nord Stream pipeline and then it got blown up and nothing ever happened to them, did it? And they don't even mention it. All right, we're at the end of the show, folks.
House. White House, you know. I mean, it's just,
I want to
thank... It's out of control.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's come back again tomorrow if we can. We got to continue this conversation. Erica, thank you for joining. Steven, thank you for joining. You guys have a fantastic evening.
Everybody. Trusted long-term storable food company, we have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.